For decades, Heklina has been hosting the world's longest running drag show in San Francisco, Tranny Shack. Heklina is such an institution, we're kind of surprised she isn't on display at a museum in the Castro.
As you can imagine, it came as a great surprise when we heard that Heklina is contemplating changing the name of her infamous night to T-Shack. Is she finally getting with the times, or is she just selling out to expand her brand?
Join us as Heklina dishes the dirt on the Drag Queens of Comedy Showcase, her annual drag queen road trip to Reno, and her upcoming Sex and the City stage show with Alaska.
Plus, getting into a fist fight with Lady Bunny.
Is artisanal toast killing San Francisco?
And vomit protests on Google's obnoxious commuter buses.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of financial support of people like you. Thank you. Upgrade your account today at feastoffun.com/plus and listen to our fabulous podcast 5 days a week.
Our guest today is one of San Francisco's most hilarious drag queens.
The most.
Heklina, work it, girl.
Hi, how's it going?
Whoa, oh, there we go. There's the bell. Okay, I remember that. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Hi. You've been doing Tranny Shack for how long?
Gosh, this actually just the last February we celebrated our 18-year anniversary.
Oh my God.
Old enough to vote.
You were doing Tranny Shack, the world's longest running drag
show. Now, is that official? Because I saw you put that on Facebook.
It's actually, it was official 5 years ago.
That it's the oldest, longest running? Wow. Okay. I do know that when I ended the weekly party, it was the longest running weekly party. And then when I stopped it, all these other upstarts, they were like, now we're the longest running, like clubs that were going on for like 5 months. We're now the longest running, you know what I mean?
Did you get into a lawsuit with drag queens in the UK about the brand name Tranny Shack? Because they were doing a show, Tranny Shack UK.
They still are, aren't they?
I don't know. What happened to the lawsuit?
It just went on and on and on. But unfortunately, it's very expensive and very time-consuming to try and do a lawsuit internationally. Mm-hmm. Like, I had lawyers. I had a lawyer in San Francisco. Then I had a lawyer in the UK. And finally, it was just like, after I wrote the 10th check for like $2,000, $3,000, I was just like, this is... I spent $20,000 in this lawsuit. That's how many vacations? That's like, you know... Mm-hmm. I was like, I finally just had to be like, okay, I give up. Let these people just use the name.
So what is it I hear about these rumors that you're changing the name of Tranny Shack after 2 decades? You're going to call it T-Shack to remove...
Okay, that's a rumor. That is a rumor. But that is a rumor that I started, sort of, because I was throwing names out. So what happened was there's been a couple of times that people have been like, oh, Tranny Shack, because it's now, it's not politically correct to use that term. It's not politically correct to use any term for transgender. You can't say shemale. You can't. All of a sudden, there's all these things you can't say. So I did have a kind of a meltdown with this queen from Seattle when I was doing Tranny Shack in Seattle. She was rallying the community against me. Turns out I had to cancel that show anyway. It wasn't because of this furor around it. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, Tranny Shack has been... I've not been the focus of much rage about the term tranny.
Because it's like an institution.
It's an institution and people... It's very beloved. But recently, I just happened to be on Facebook and I read somebody that performs at Tranny Shack, and they said... It was a young kid. And they said, oh my God, I love it. But I guess when I go, I got to tell my friends I'm going to T-Shack because I don't want to say... The word tranny. And so I was thinking about it and I was like, I don't want to be, you know, I just want to be in the business of putting on shows and entertaining people. I don't want to be in the business of offending people. So I threw it out there on the other podcast mm-hmm. I do. And the my hosts in the podcast, they were like not happy with the term T-Shack, and all these people heard the term. And I guess because I'm in Tranny Shack and it's something I created, I'm out of touch with how beloved it is to people, mm-hmm. including the name. So all these people were up in arms. You can't change the name. So I feel like I'm kind of stuck and I'm stuck because if I change it, I'm going to piss off the Tranny Shack audience. And if I don't change it, I'm going to be hearing from these people.
Well, why don't you do what, you know, Paul McCartney did when he broke up with the Beatles and just start a new band and call it Wings?
Because Tranny Shack, I've been living and breathing it for 18 years and I've spent so much time building this brand.
Yeah.
I think, coming up, obviously, I just did 18 years and in 2 years, I'll have the big 20-year Tranny Shack, kind of like the kiss-off party. I'm going to do a big party mm-hmm. again and to celebrate 20 years. Then I might do a rebrand leading up to this big party. What was formerly Tranny Shack is now. But I did talk to Peaches. Peaches called me because she was also upset at the prospect of me changing the name. And I know you're talking to me about getting great advice from Peaches. Most of it I ignore. But she did say that if I was going to do it, I have to do like focus groups and you know, and a big PR push. And I think
Peaches
it's true.
Told you to do make a decision based on what a focus group tells you.
I think a focus group and a big PR push.
Peaches doesn't do anything through a focus group.
I think she might. Think, well, she works with people, though. Not?
But but the focus groups would be really funny. It's kind of like, you know, like
yeah, put it on YouTube.
Like trying a new taste of gum or something. What do you think of this? You know, like, what do you think of this name? A drag hut. T-Shack or whatever, you know what I mean?
I don't have a problem with Tranny Shack, but that host is just so... unattractive and abrasive and unappealing.
You mean the time Peaches hosted for me?
Oh! Oh, honey.
Oh, my God.
Stephen Paul Song says on Facebook, T-Shack sounds like a laxative cream.
That's what I know. That's what I heard. I heard from a lot of people. But I, over the years, the reason why I even thought of that name is because we use it as an abbreviation. I've used it over the years. But somebody said it's like a terrible mix of T-Mobile and Radio Shack. It's like, it doesn't, so you don't know what it is.
Shaquille O'Neal or something.
Yeah, or something like that. And yeah, so I was like, yeah, or something, you know. Well, what was the other one?
T-Shack.
Oh, The Shack, because that would be Shaquille O'Neal. You can't really call it that.
No.
Like, what is it? And I don't want to call it trans anything, because tranny was a term that we used back in the 90s for getting in drag.
Mm-hmm.
It was never meant to be like, oh, it's about trans people. It's about transgender. It was always irreverent. It was always about come dressed up. And we used it. We would say, oh, I'm going to get in tranny tonight and go out and, you know.
Tranny on holiday.
Exactly.
Is when you clock a drag queen out of drag and her eyebrows are all shaved and she's wearing leggings and an oversized sweater and dark glasses so you don't see her mascara.
I never heard that.
When did you say, tranny on holiday?
I never heard that term.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But I mean, I think people are getting a little bit fed up also with the thought police of people saying, you can't say this and you can't say that. And forgetting, so when I had this meltdown with this queen in Seattle, we were going back and forth and I was saying, you know, I really, really always believe it's not the word itself. It's the intent behind a word. Whether the word is the N-word, which you still can't really even say.
Don't get us too excited.
I know. You can't say, you know, you can't say this, you can't say that, except for the intent.
Well, you can say it. You just, people
gotta
like
you for it. Gotta live with the
consequences. What I mean is, it's like, if somebody calls me a fag, if you called me a fag, or if Dave over there called me, I wouldn't care. If somebody's...
If
somebody on the street is yelling, hey, fag, I guess I would care.
It's someone judging you based on...
It's coming from a place of hate.
Yeah.
But it's someone judging you based on not on your intentions or your action or your deeds, but on something they're reading into what you're saying.
Right.
And that's why you feel you can't say certain things is because of these people making a judgment on you, not based on any deed that you've done.
Right. So when you say you can't say that word, it's almost kind of like, why not? You know what I mean? Like, why can't I say the word? I mean, they said, why don't you call it Fag Shack? This transgender. I was like, that's a great name. You know what I mean? I have no problem
with
that.
You're not going to get much press with that.
That's your apartment on the weekends.
Yeah, exactly. But I was telling her, I said, I don't really, I always think it's the intent behind a word. It's not the word itself. She said, I totally agree with you. And I said, well, then why are you even messaging me right now? If you know what the intent is of Tranny Shack, why did you even message me? She's like, oh, I don't know. I think she wanted me to make it some fundraiser for transgender community or something. I was like, oh, you know me. It's not going to be a fundraiser. I guess you don't know me very well. It'll be a fundraiser for this tranny.
Well, don't be throwing no shade. I just got to get paid.
Exactly.
When did you first notice like the sea change around this word? How people are like all of a sudden like you can't say it. When was that for you?
Maybe it's been like in the past year or two.
Only the past year or two?
Yeah, I've not. Because like I said, Tranny Shack is so beloved. It's such an institution. I don't really get a lot of flack for the name. Especially in San Francisco. But sometimes when I go out of San Francisco, like I was going to Seattle, and Seattle, as we know, is very PC, very politically correct. And Portland, very politically. And you know what it all is? It's because they're both very white cities. And they're white cities, meaning a lot of college kids, they're taught about, you know, repression, and they're taught to be
privileged.
And so it's a lot of white saviors going, you can't say this. You can't, you don't know as a white person what you're, you know, the things mm-hmm. that these people have been through. Well, it's neither do you. You just got out of college and, you know, you're on a trust fund and, you know, don't try and tell me about oppression, you know, whatever. But on the other hand, I don't want to be in the business of offending people. If it's keeping people away from coming to mm-hmm. Tranny Shack, why not change the name?
But so do you feel like it's actually keeping people away from seeing your show now?
I don't.
Are you worried that you're going to lose credibility if you change it?
Yes.
Like you're a sellout?
Yes. But I sold out a long time ago. I'll sell out. Please. Nobody's buying. I'll sell out.
Sold on the lowest bid.
I would sell out if anybody wanted it.
Now, I don't know if you're familiar with Jennifer Pritzker. She was
her. Yes, of course.
I'm not. Well, she's the world's richest trans person. Oh. And so she just came out as
billionaire.
Trans. Billionaire. It just came out recently. And she has a company called the Twanny Enterprises.
Twanny.
It sounds like Elmer Fudd saying the word tranny. And uh-huh. so now she's got a Twanny Foundation. So I wonder, can we just change tranny to Twanny?
Twanny. It's T-A-W-A-N-I. Twanny.
I'm trying to figure out where the origin of that word is from. But
called the Twanny Enterprises and sent them an email asking them for what's the origins or the name or telling, and there's no response. Mm-hmm. So it might be a prank.
Might be a little tongue-in-cheek. Well, a billion-dollar prank.
Well, speaking of tongue-in-cheek, I got to tell you about my trick last night. But anyway, by the time Tranny Shack celebrates its 20-year anniversary, I'm already in the position of not really wanting to travel with the Tranny Shack shows, and not so much. You know what I mean? Like, I might.
Yeah.
I'm trying to buy my own venue, and if I buy my own venue and I start up a weekly drag night again, it's not going to be called Tranny Shack. So I do seriously.
Oh, so that's the plan. You want to like
the plan
plant
is
roots and stay.
I want to plant roots. I'm tired of making liquor money for other people. I'd like to actually own a bar and mm-hmm. make my own money that way. Have roots in San Francisco. Oh, but it's really like, you know, poor Dave over there, my friend, he had to leave San Francisco because it's too expensive. It's impossible to buy a bar in San Francisco. Maybe I'll move to Chicago.
Why don't you learn JavaScript, Oracle, C++, and become a web developer?
Me?
There are bars in San Francisco that must be for sale. It's just they're too expensive.
Everybody's trying to buy them now, and a lot of people with a lot more money than me are trying to buy them. So
you're trying to get into the bar business or having a physical brick and mortar.
Yeah, space. I mean, being a nightclub promoter for other people's nightclubs, of course, it's served me very well. But at the end of the day, it's kind of for the birds, because you're going in there and you're making all this money for them. Mm-hmm. They're you know, they're getting like $10,000 bar or whatever. You know,
and you're seeing all these drag queens on RuPaul's Drag Race making six figures a year, and you're just like, I want a cut of that action.
I don't know if they're really making.
Some you don't think so?
No.
Some are making that much money.
Some are, but I think
I've seen the tax forms.
Whose tax forms?
Not going to say who, okay. But who in the most who's the person my most likely I could see the tax forms from?
Alaska,
the other one,
Sharon.
Maybe
you didn't see her tax forms, did you? He's just making that up.
I don't know. I think you're making it up. But because that was one of the things I was talking to Alaska a couple weeks ago, because I told you I got this email from the RuPaul people. They're like, you know, we really think you should submit a tape this year. I've never even heard of this person.
Have you ever actually watched the show?
No. And
you've not watched one episode of RuPaul's Drag Race.
I did watch one episode last year, the year that Honey Mahogany was on. Peach was over at my house, and she was like, RuPaul's Drag Race is on. We should watch it. So I watched it, because I had this aversion to watching it. And we watched it, and I hated it. And I just like, okay, that's why I don't watch the
show.
What
did you not like about it?
Because it was this one episode where they were doing some children's TV show, like live, mm-hmm. and Alaska was dressed
Buffalo
up as
Bill.
Was dressed up as a boy, and they were saying, and then RuPaul and Michelle Visage were like, you're not in drag. This is called RuPaul's Drag Race. And so I was thinking about that, and I was like, isn't RuPaul the woman who said, we're born naked, everything else is drag? And I was like, oh my God, she's such a hypocrite right now. Because obviously he's in drag. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, I hate this show. And Alaska and Sharon never believed me when I say I'd never watched it. I never watched it the whole season that Sharon was on.
So how did you know who these people were in the first place?
Who?
Sharon or Alaska to be friends with them.
Well, I was friends with, I booked Alaska at Tranny Shack in Los Angeles years before she got on the show.
Oh.
I was friends with Willem before he got on the show. I was friends with Detox. I was, you know, I've known all these people. And of course, as a club promoter, you'd be a fool to not book them now that they're these big stars. Like, so I've booked Bianca, I booked Latrice, because I know that they have these followings. But you know what? It's not just RuPaul's Drag Race. I don't watch television. I don't watch any of that stuff. I've never seen American Horror Story. I don't know.
So you guys just did Queens of Comedy in San Francisco.
Right.
I had Lady Bunny.
Lady Bunny.
Willem. Without the DWV. Detox.
They were booked as DWV, but Detox, unfortunately, her father's very ill, so she was... Isn't she here?
She's here in Chicago. Yeah.
Is her dad here?
Yes, the family's here. Okay. So we saw him last week with when Michelle Visage and Jinx Titanic or Jinx Monsoon were here.
Mm-hmm. And Lady Bunny, who was like the Peaches Christ? Mm-hmm.
Me and Peaches hosted together.
Your evil twin sister.
My evil
twin. Or are you the evil one? But
some people would say I'm the evil.
You're the
one.
Evil yes. one. You're both good people. I don't know if I would characterize you as evil or anything.
Well, maybe. Well, they're drag characters.
Dark.
Sinister. Yes.
So who was like, who did really well? Bianca Del Rio, she like killed it.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like this was the mistake of the promoter. They put her on first, and she was the one who just slayed. Like, we were
she should have been the headliner.
Yeah, we were like, welcome everybody, and now to start the night, here's Bianca Del Rio. And then the whole place erupted, and she like brought the house down both shows, and... certain people had to follow her, and it was not an easy act to follow.
Who followed her?
Pandora Box.
How'd she do?
She did wonderful.
But it's a hard act to follow, I could imagine.
Yeah, it's a hard act to follow.
I heard that there was rumors that backstage, Willem and Vicky Vox hate each other now, and they wouldn't. They kept them in separate cages.
Who told you that?
A little bird.
Oh, well,
There's a lot of people actually that were passing that along.
They've been tweeting
it,
they've
been passing it along.
And I can't say one way or the other.
DWB.
But what am I doing right now?
Have split up. You're shaking his head.
He's nodding.
Okay.
Why?
Listen, I don't want to get in trouble.
How are you going to get in trouble? What are they going to say? You said that we broke up when everybody knows they broke up?
All right, so the rumor is Willem and Vicky do not get along. But they're both very good friends of Detox.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of awkward on the night of because Detox was obviously not there. So they had to perform separately. And I think there was a lot of tension backstage. Rumor has it that Willem was kept in a dressing room up away from Vicky to not have a lot of drama.
Because they were originally going to do a comedy song together. And then they actually didn't sing together?
They didn't sing together, no.
So they each had to come up with their own comedy act at the last minute?
But, I mean, they have material. They have material. I don't know what happened with Willem in the 10 o'clock show, though. This is kind of...
I heard there was a snowstorm in San Francisco.
Who told you that?
Twitter.
I don't know about your...
I got this on Twitter,
I don't
honey.
Know about your sources.
It was on Reddit. I read it on Reddit somewhere. Tumblr. Something. There was a snowstorm there, and it was just
a blizzard.
Like
a blizzard.
And it just caused all sorts of commotion backstage.
There was, a lot more tension at the 10 o'clock show. a lot more grinding of teeth.
It sounds like it was a fantastic show. A lot of acts, though.
It was a big show.
Yeah.
It was
10 performers, 13 performers? That's a lot for a comedy show.
I can't really do the math. Let me see. It was Lady Bunny.
It was a
Bianca,
cube of nine.
Pandora, Shangela, Coco, Willem, Vicky, Sasha. Yeah, I guess you're right.
It was a lot of people. I'm looking here at the poster for it, and it was like, Coco Peru did really well.
Coco Peru did well. Lady Bunny did well.
I hear she's a very nice person.
Who, Coco?
Coco. Mm-hmm.
She is now, very nice.
Lady Bunny, you said, has been doing the same act for as long as Tranny Shack has been around.
Not as long Wigstock. As Tranny. No. So me and Peaches, we went to Wigstock 2001, I think it was the final Wigstock on the piers. It was a week before 9/11. I remember that because I had one of those
13 years ago.
I had one of those phones that you had to, the disposable ones. I remember because I got my film, I got the pictures back, and it was after 9/11, and I got all these pictures back of me standing with the Twin Towers, and it was just really depressing.
Aww.
But She debuted this amazing dance medley at Wigstock in 2001. And a little clips, you know, people, you know, like living.
It takes two to make a hole feel tight.
It takes three to make it out of sight. Like, things were really funny. Or she did clips like, you know, you need work, supermodel, like reading RuPaul. She cut that one out because RuPaul's now back up here again. it's true. RuPaul, you can't even, nobody can afford her now.
But, that's why she doesn't do any gigs.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but I don't think RuPaul wants to perform.
She doesn't have to.
You've booked RuPaul before, have you?
No, I've not booked her, but I've worked with her. I've worked at the same venues as she does. I think she may not, she might not actually look great outside of all those Vaseline lenses and stuff. Because I remember that one time she was on
Project Runway,
and it looked like it was like the Crypt Keeper. And, you know,
something was wrong there.
Lady Bunny was supposed to have that gig as a judge, but she did not get the gig because RuPaul is obviously more famous. Mm-hmm. But Lady Bunny was hired to be the online commentator or something. So she was in the room watching it with all these people. And when RuPaul came on the screen, everybody in the whole room shrieked because she was wearing this terrible white wig. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And she just looked all
like Beyonce on a budget.
Some facial wasting.
Yeah, some facial wasting. I can't really say the A word, but.
No. I think she must have had filler since then, or just gained a little weight or something. I don't know.
Or maybe there's just a lot of stuff
happening.
I've heard that it takes an incredible amount of shellacking and foundation, and it's like they pull it back.
They tape her. She's taped in front of a live audience.
She's taped in front of a live audience, exactly. But there's a lot of, I mean, my friend told me about the process it takes to put her in makeup, and it's a lot. Yeah. It's a team. It's almost, it's like the Bionic Woman, you know, like rebuilding her.
Well, when you see her out of drag as a dude on the show, he looks, you know, he's a fine, handsome-looking guy, but he looks, as, you know, 50-some years old. He looks his age, but, man, they just pull that skin back, and it's nice and tight, and just the makeup just does wonders.
Well, it's Matthew
Anderson.
There's
hope for all of us.
Matthew Anderson's amazing.
The reason that RuPaul looked so bad during Project Runway is I heard that she was having a tiff with him at the time.
Oh.
And that since then, they've been able to patch things up, and that's why RuPaul looked
so bad. And
she
knew she looked bad, though. Yeah. She sat there. She just looked guilty.
It was like, you know, when your dog's gone through the garbage and eaten something, and it just has this look of guilt.
That's you what, come like, home.
And did you notice they never really showed her a whole lot? They would show her like little bits, and then they would go away to the other judges, and every now and then they'd go over to her and...
Well, Shangela, and I heard with Shangela that she did a death drop and broke her leg to the bone, that was bone sticking out, and that she's been in the hospital all this time and made her comeback at Drag Queens of Comedy and killed it.
That's not true.
No.
What's not true?
The death drop?
That she made her comeback at Drag Queens of Comedy, because I hosted an event with her a couple weeks before Drag Queens of Comedy. But maybe you're right, because she was sitting down the whole time, pretty much.
Yeah, she messed up her leg.
Did she walk out on stage?
Yeah.
For this fundraiser? She walked a little bit.
Okay.
I heard that she's like in a
wheelchair. Because I heard she had like four pins or something like that.
One of those Stephen Hawking wheelchairs, and she's like now doing it with a computer voice.
And Coco.
Can I get a hallelujah?
Coco debuted her new wig.
Coco had a new wig, yes.
Which is kind of, for anybody that's followed Coco Peru's career for the past 30 years, she's never changed her hairstyle.
But God love her. She must have like 20 wigs that look exactly the same. It can't be the same wig.
It might be like one or two wigs.
She goes to Taiwan every year and just buys a crate.
But how do you I mean, as somebody who travels with hair all the time, you can't travel with a wig like that and have it look... After a while, it just gets tore up.
Yeah,
you know? I've seen Coco's wig, and she literally folds it up and puts it in an envelope.
Oh.
So it's a shake and drop and wear. I was on Facebook, and I said to her, listen, I'm your friend, and your friends will tell you when you look bad. And I think that new wig is not becoming of you.
Oh, really?
And she's like, what do you know, Fausto? And my podcast, I have Lily Tomlin, and you just get Heclina.
Oh. No, I thought the wig looked... I was kind of surprised. I turned around. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I lied. I didn't mind it. It was just kind of like, you know, an old woman, an old rich woman kind of look, you know, a moo-moo.
I thought she looked like a pawn on a chessboard.
Well, I would say...
Little head and big dress.
I will say that she has... She never wears a lot of hair, though. The other hairstyle is even more flat and against your head.
The flip kind of gives it some depth.
Yeah,
it gives us a horizontal movement. And Peaches nailed it with you. I heard that from a lot of people. that are not friends of ours that you guys stole the show with Bianca.
Really?
Really, really well.
Wow. Because you don't feel it when you're the MC, because what you're trying to do is oftentimes you're going out there and doing damage control. Like if somebody bombs, you're kind of like, okay, everybody, how you guys doing? You know, you're trying to get the audience back up. So there's, you know, as an MC, you don't get as much laughter as like the main act. But people kept telling us, oh, you did great. And you're like, oh, okay.
Peaches actually told me that, that a lot of people from San Francisco came and they were like, they had no idea who Heckley and I were. And these people live in San Francisco. But they all came up and they're like, you guys were really wonderful. Do you guys perform here in town? And she's just like, for the past 20 years.
That's how it is now to be not on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Right.
Because, you know, like you finish the show and you know, and now Bianca's the hot one. Mm-hmm. So like after the show, after the 10 o'clock show, there was a meet and greet and all of Bianca's merchandise was out. And there was a line up the stairs for merchandise and nobody else. Like nobody else was getting any attention.
Oh, wow.
But it was funny for me because I was like, hey, everybody. Yeah. You know, Tranny Shack, San Francisco, been doing this for like 18 years. Hi, you know we do exist over here. You know, me and Peaches, your MC. It did feel a little bit like that. Mm-hmm. Can you get out of the way? I'm trying to get to Bianca.
You know, it's like, have your 15 minutes, Bianca.
Not good for her. She's very talented.
Oh,
and
amazing.
I think what happened with her was she was doing the same thing as I was. She was hosting this show in New York with Lady Bunny at that club XL or something, and they would do a party for RuPaul's Drag Race contestants. Every year, and she would be reading them and looking at these girls, and some of them going like, she'd be going, God, I should be doing what they're doing. And so she auditioned for the show, and now she's this huge thing. She told me before she went on RuPaul's Drag Race, she had 600 Instagram followers, and now she has like 67,000. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So getting on that show is, and that's why I was very tempted when I got the email from the producers. I was like, maybe I should put a tape in.
Maybe you should.
Why not? Know. What's the worst thing that can happen?
Worst thing that could happen is I could end up looking like an idiot and lose my credibility. And, well, I guess there really is nothing to lose. I guess there really is nothing to lose.
And then you get on television for one episode.
Right, right.
You guys are still booking a bus and packing it with drag queens and their fans and taking it to Reno, Tranny Shack Reno.
Exactly.
How many years have you been doing this now?
This will be, I think, our 17th year of going. Yeah. And it's getting bigger than ever.
How many buses do you have this year?
This year, we added a third bus because the first two buses, you know, there were some years we only had one bus and we had to really work to sell it out. You know, there was like recession years and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, there's so much money floating around San Francisco, the two buses sold out instantly. So we added a third bus and that one's selling out. So it's going to be crazy.
Will you add a fourth bus?
Will we? I think it might just get to be too much. At that, we should just charter a plane, you know, or something.
So what happens on this bus? Because you take it's a drag queens on a bus from San Francisco.
Everybody's
to Reno,
invited to show up and drag, right?
And then you do a performance in Reno?
Yes. So we, we meet on the morning. We meet outside of Retrofit, this vintage clothing store in San Francisco that a friend of mine owns. Plug, LeMay. Oh, you know LeMay.
We watched
Project Runway. RuPaul.
Yeah.
Scaring the
was
the
that
children.
The one with RuPaul?
Yes.
Where she looked frightening?
We
was
were there.
The LeMay one?
Yeah, we watched it at LeMay's shop.
Was Lady Bunny in that room when we watched
it? No, she wasn't. I don't think she was in it. But I remember LeMay kept yelling at the screen, don't do it, because he was talking about whatever clothes or fashion. I think she was the losing look, right?
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah, she just kept yelling at her designer, don't do it, don't do it.
Oh, like, wow. Don't do it. Forgot about that.
Yeah, it was a fun night.
Yeah, no, LeMay, we start off at LeMay's store. Everybody gets a little mimosa as they get on the bus. And we drive. We stop in Auburn on the way there at the McDonald's, terrorize everybody at the McDonald's. Then we get back on the bus, arrive in Reno, everybody gets their room assignments. Everybody either passes out and gets back up and gets in drag, or they keep going. You know, however they keep going, it's up to them. I don't judge.
Yes.
And then...
The crystal meth generation.
Yes, exactly.
And so you have methed out drag queens in Reno.
Well, I don't know if it's meth, because I really think it's coke, because Tranny Shack was never a meth vibe. It was always a coke scene.
Yeah.
You know,
comedians do coke, not meth.
Yeah, exactly.
Because meth turns off that part of your brain that gives a shit whether people like you or not.
Coke, you're trying to get people to like you.
And yes, coke is like, I'm the greatest.
Listen, I got something to say. Listen to me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whereas meth is like, fuck the world.
No, one year somebody said that they got coke, they got gonorrhea of the throat from using somebody's Coke spoon.
Oh,
I was
wow.
like, oh, that's how you got it? Please.
Now they tell me.
You can, though, get Hep C, though, from like using like straws or dollar bills when other people are using to snort Coke.
Well, sure, just inject it.
I heard that in San Francisco there's a protest against those Google corporate buses.
Did we wrap up the train
check? No. I just wanted to stay with me here.
So people are protesting on
the buses.
Buses.
And they're vomiting on the inside of the buses as a form of protest. You could have that happening on your Tranny Shack Reno bus.
People are already vomiting in those buses.
They wouldn't notice.
Actually, one year I rode back on one of the buses, and I now host the buses. There was a lot of years where I would go up early and not go on the buses, but I rode back, and this was the crazy years when Tranny Shack was just insane. Everybody was just partying, and there was vomit. Like spilling down the aisles at the end.
That's disgusting.
Somebody was sitting next to me and they pulled, like the little magazine holder in the back of the, they pulled it open to puke into it, but it was mesh. So the puke just kind of, seeped out. Like they were so drunk, they thought they were going to puke into like a little, an area, but it just kind of like then oozed out of this mesh area.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time you rode Greyhound, it's like those... those buses all are puke, people fucking in the back. Yeah. There's like sex,
and nobody drugs. Had emptied the toilets in Reno. So on the way back, they were kind of overflowing, and nobody would dare go to that bathroom. Like you opened it, and if you went in there, you'd come out and just
smelled
reek, smell of just like chemicals.
Did you serve food on the buses?
No,
okay.
No, we stop at the McDonald's on the way there and on the way back.
I would love to if you guys sold like burgers on the bus.
That's a good idea. I wonder if we can make money doing that.
Just for some fried
I heard
donuts.
Christine, you got Christine, the world's most
drag terrorist,
popular
yes.
booger queen.
Somebody was asking me today what booger queen meant, and I said,
Christine.
Look up Christine.
Christine is a booger queen. And so she was hosting or being the tour guide on one of the buses.
She was.
What the fuck is she going to say?
She's just brilliant. And the people in Reno have gotten so used to us coming out there, but this was with Christine, they were just like, would you please go back and put some clothes on? Because I think she was walking around with
her dick hanging out.
Her dick and her ass. And they're like, you got to cover that stuff up. So,
The interesting thing that Christine out of drag, Paul is like the most quiet, subdued, polite, intelligent person. And you put him in drag as Christine. And it's just like, it is like having a shark,
I know.
Chopping up the waters.
I know.
So did the locals show up for the show in Reno?
They do. It just took them a long time to to get onto the fact that we were, that there's this thing you should, it's our 17th or 18th year, and now it's packing the place with locals. For years, it was kind of like, well, I think we made the mistake of doing the shows with the Imperial Court people up there, asking them to help us promote the shows. And, Imperial Court people, they don't promote their own shows. So, they're not really...
We call them trailer trash and tiaras.
Exactly. That's what they are. And finally, we were just like, who needs them? We'll just go up there and ironically, or I don't know if it's ironic or not, but when we got rid of that element, now it's like it all of a sudden exploded.
Because you're doing it in a gay club, or are you doing it at the hotel?
A gay club.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've done many venues, but Reno is such a sad place. Like you don't even realize that you're 1 year we were scheduled to do the shows in this one bar, and then a week before the show they padlocked the bar, and we were like, oh, okay, could nobody have told me that they were going to padlock this place? And I even asked the guy, the owner, I was like, there's rumors that you guys are going to close. I'm so angry about these rumors. Who would dare? And then, the next day, it was padlocked for failure to pay liquor bills or something. But we finally found a good venue. It's like a bar that's not going anywhere. It's going to be there. Like, every bar we've been in before that, they don't pay their bills or their taxes. It gets shut down. I mean, Reno is Reno. It's never last call. So people are just,
Oh, really? They serve all night?
24 hours
a day?
24/7.
Because you don't drink anymore, right?
No.
What? Are we not supposed to talk about that?
Anonymous.
What?
Oh.
Well, not Lady Gaga talks about it as recovery. Once you're an addict, you're always an addict.
Okay.
The way I understand it, I don't drink.
Is that
I was like, did I say something? I was
no,
like,
no, I'm just teasing. No, I'm just teasing.
Well, because you can't say, if someone is in Alcoholics Anonymous, but you can talk about if they're comfortable talking about it, then being recovered.
I'm just teasing, Mark. I'm very, very aware on my sleeve that I'm in recovery and I don't drink or use drugs.
Who got sober first?
That I did find meth.
Yes. Yes.
On the street.
You found meth on the street corner.
I did. Well, outside of Potbellies.
The sandwich shop.
Yes, and I brought it home and I have it on display here. So.
And so, we showed it to Michelle Visage and she was like, looked at us with a suspicious, angry look. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you know it's real meth?
And I didn't know that, so I gave it to Heclina, and Heclina's like, let me smell it. He goes, yes, this is meth.
Yeah, meth has that just smell, that certain
chemically.
Smell. Chemically, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
synthetic.
So, yeah, was it a good quality of...
I don't know. I don't know unless we do it. Here, just chop up the lines.
Well, he was smelling it out of the bag. I figured a little...
Cancel dinner, CeCe. Cancel dinner. We're gonna do the meth.
So what? You're here with Chicago. You're here with the city of San Francisco as a drag ambassador.
I am the San Francisco drag queen. You know, like, San Francisco is, you know, gay central, mm-hmm. so they have to have a gay element at their party. And... So, yeah, it is the International Powwow Conference. It's the travel conference. So travel agents and ambassadors come from all around the world to this conference to entice you to sell mm-hmm. their city, sell San Francisco as a travel destination. Don't people already go there? I don't know. I mean, it seems funny that you throw all this money at this
thing.
You have to remind people. Yeah. Otherwise, they forget. They're like, let's just go to San Diego.
Remember, people, that advertising does work. You can advertise on your favorite podcast, Feast of Fun. And get your message out there.
What? Who do you have advertising?
Nobody right now.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm. We're listeners
100% listener supported, but we do accept advertising.
What do you mean supported? Do they send you money, listeners?
They do. The best way to support the show is to become a Plus member, and you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus, because your monthly donation or your one time a year donation really does make this show happen.
Peaches Christ is a Plus subscriber.
Is that why you guys are like on Easy Street? Neither one of you have to work. You just live off the benefits of your podcast?
Well, just because we haven't declared bankruptcy doesn't mean we're living on Easy Street.
People should be paid for work, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm getting paid for this. I'm getting paid for this conference. So yeah, it's happening on Tuesday, and I greet all the guests when they come in, and I'm going to do two songs and just schmooze with people, and you know that's really all I'm flown here to do. I'm being put up in a very nice hotel and being paid a king's ransom, queen's ransom.
I think that's part of the reason, like, not to get off topic here, but why Michelle Visage does the podcast with us is because she's trying to start a show with RuPaul, and she wants to learn how to, like, hook up a microphone to a mixer board.
Oh.
She was, like, literally, like, looking at the computer and, like, leering over the mixer board and pulled out her cell phone and started taking photos of it, and... She asked me, like, how many listeners do you have? How many of them are premium subscribers? How much money do you make a year? And I was just like, girl, this is a lot of private information, you know? It's a little tacky.
Do you know, I met Michelle Visage at the Jean-Paul Gaultier party in San Francisco. And they, because I was there and she came up to me. I was, of course, in drag. And she was like, I'm very close friends with RuPaul. And I just thought she was some crazy lady. Turns out. Turns out that I was right, and B, that it was Michelle Visage. That goes to show I don't watch the show. I was like, who is this crazy woman? But then I went to go see the All Stars on tour.
Yes.
When it came to
Battle
San Francisco.
Of the Seasons.
Battle of the Seasons. Yes. And she was great. She was the MC.
Yeah. We heard that, like, now, because the girls used to be on their own and have their own management, and the new, is it this season or is it starting next season, the girls had to sign, like, some kind of release where World of Wonder, that produces RuPaul's Drag Race,
that's
is going to
the
manage
other
their
reason,
career.
That's the other reason why I was advised to not go on the show.
Because they want to cut a tranny shack.
They could not get a cut of tranny shack because it's something I created before I went on RuPaul's, before, you know, presumably, or whatever.
You became famous.
Before I went on RuPaul's Drag Race. But anything I would start... Or any money that I would make, and especially in that first year, they could get some of that money. And I was just like, you know, I think ultimately I do just as well, if not better, than a lot of the RuPaul girls, you know, because I produce my own events. Mm-hmm. So I just need to stay where I'm at, do my own branding, do my own stuff, be in control of my own image that nobody really knows about because I'm not on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Well, maybe there'll be another TV show that'll have drag queens that'll come along. I've heard rumors that they're going to do some kind of drag reality TV show in the UK.
So we'll Tranny see. Shack UK.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's what
it's called. Oh my god, I better go back over there to London and start schmoozing with, you know, Dusty and all those people. Just kidding. Yeah. That lawsuit, just kidding, you guys. Polish your knob, governor.
You're doing you're well known for the drag queen Golden Girls.
Yes.
Where you play Blanche.
Uh-huh.
How does she say
you play Blanche? No, I'm sorry. I play Dorothy.
Oh, you play Dorothy.
Of course. Right. With a mug like that?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, it's also me. It's basically me.
Yeah.
Her character, you know.
Give me the best Dorothy, like,
I can't. Don't ask line. Me to do anything.
Oh,
no. Let's move on to the next topic.
Eat your cheesecake.
Oh, God. Did you see Jackie Beat on the?
I love that.
As B. Arthur. So, in another shocking display of non-creativity, we're adopting another TV show.
Sex in the City.
Sex in the City. And we're going to be doing it live. Another blatant theft of somebody else's
work. So you're doing the exact word for word the script of Sex in the City, or are you rewriting it to make it actually funny?
We do rewrite it because, yeah, it's harder to make that funny because there aren't the jokes built in like the Golden Girls. So we do rewrite it to make it more gay and more, yeah. And some elements, like, of course... So with the Golden Girls, I love and worship all four of those women, mm-hmm. you know, especially Bea Arthur, but I love all of them. Mm-hmm. And I love the character of Dorothy's Bornack. Now with Sex and the City, I really hate Carrie Bradshaw. I think she's so annoying. So
they cast you as Carrie Bradshaw.
I'm Carrie Bradshaw, but I make fun of all the things that we hate Carrie Bradshaw for. Like, she's so neurotic and she's like, when am I going to get Mr. Big? And then she gets Mr. Big and she's like, Big is being mean to me. And Big is, it's like, oh, shut up. You know what I mean? Just, can't you just be happy you're getting that dick?
So you're playing her. Who's playing the other characters?
Lady Bear is going to play Miranda.
Good.
Darcy Drollinger is going to play Samantha. Darcy Drollinger, if you've not heard of him, is very talented. He's doing Shit and Champagne right now in San Francisco, and
the Lohan Project.
Then Alaska Thunderfuck is playing Charlotte.
I love that you're doing so much stuff with Alaska. That's
I
great.
Love Alaska. Well, like I said, it wasn't that I just saw her in the TV show and I was like, I'm going to use her. I knew her from years before. Like, I remember when she was actually a baby drag queen and she was like, can I perform at Tranny Shack? And I booked her and she was great. But she was so young and so new, she brought her parents one time to watch her perform at Tranny Shack. She's like, look, Mom and Dad, I'm performing, I'm on stage, you know. But she always had this great look and this great presence. And I was so bummed when she left to move to Pittsburgh, because I was like, oh, you know, when you go down to LA, you're always looking for great performers. And she was like a great person to turn to. And now she's back in LA. But she, so I had a history with her. And I had a history with Jinx. I booked her at Tranny Shack in Seattle. And I remember when she came to soundcheck years ago, she did this. She was doing this big Sweeney Todd number, and she was at soundcheck. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a disaster. And then she did it that night, and it was so amazing. And she was so talented. And so it's not surprising to me that she's like this big thing now. And I have a history with Detox and Willem and Raja. I booked Raja before she got on the show. So, you know.
And Vicky Vox.
You know your queens.
Yeah.
Annecy, go to bed. Annecy on Facebook wants to know, please tell Peaches Christ to cast me in a play. Thanks. God bless.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. All right. I'll talk to Peaches for you.
Damon L. Jacobs, I loved Heckalina and Tranny Shack every Tuesday night in the late 90s. Hopefully he still loves you.
That's when it was. That's when
back
it was.
Then. My question, what does Heckalina make of the controversy around the
We've
word
We've already
tranny?
Talked about that.
You're not listening.
Let's move on.
So I guess it's like he's wondering if... Well, I think we addressed that already earlier.
Move on.
Luis Guillermo Martinez, why am I so fat?
Probably because you eat too much.
Too many calories?
Actually,
spent?
You know, we have the meth. So, like, problem solved. Descend that meth you found to what's his name?
You know, I've run across, like, now that we have, like, those hookup apps, a lot of chubby, thick and juicy meth addicts.
Yeah.
Users, you know? And it's like, I thought people on meth are supposed to be skinny.
Yeah, but the problem is that when you come down off meth, you're just so ravenously hungry, you just eat. You eat yourself into a coma.
Oh, that's
what sumo wrestlers do to stay that fat.
They use meth.
No, they don't use meth, but they don't eat. They eat one big meal a day, which is the worst way to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's better to eat small ones.
Yeah.
Abizuma Gulov says, question for Heckalina. How does the changing social landscape of San Francisco, influx of tech development companies and money, Google buses, protests, Ellis Act evictions, affect Tranny Shack?
Well, maybe we lightly skimmed on that topic, but yeah, the audiences, there's been a lot of dumbing down in the audiences, I think, in San Francisco. A lot of very entitled people coming to see shows now, but the flip side of that is they have a lot of money. So Tranny Shack is, it's always been recession-proof, like even during those years, the years when the economy collapsed.
Because drag's cheap.
Yeah, because it was people wanted to come be entertained. I never really felt the recession, and now that there's this big, all this money in San Francisco, I'm feeling it because I'm getting booked for these ridiculous gigs, like going out to sing happy birthday at somebody's gym in Silicon Valley or, you know, crazy things. But it's definitely impacted that there's a lot of douchebags moving into San Francisco, and you can feel it sometimes with the audiences. People now have no idea how to act as an audience member. They can't sit there and watch a show. They're on their phone, or they're just talking, or they're just like entitled, you know. So I feel like the Mission has turned into this whole douchebag corridor where people walking around in flip flops and, you know, spend all this money on artisanal toast and, you know, all this stuff. And it's kind of like it's San Francisco's old.
Is that a thing, artisanal toast?
Yes.
Tell us what artisanal toast is.
It's fancy toast. It's a piece of toast, but you go in there and it's like some fancy piece of toast that they're selling you for like $5 a slice. And I'm like, this is a slice of bread. I mean, what is this?
You know? It's really good bread toasted with good jams.
It's a piece of toast and for good $5. Butter.
Or like a fancy kind of butter spread that you can
It's not even like croque monsieur, which I would gladly pay $10 for. It's not like the French kind where it's like cheese and like egg or whatever.
Okay. It's just a like slice a piece of bread. Toast.
Yeah.
And it's like slowly roasted.
I was like, let me ask, because that might actually be a thing, and I might not know.
Artisanal toast. Oh my God, there's actually places in Chicago.
Really?
Artisanal toast.
I love Monte Cristo's, too.
Monte Cristo's so good. I'm getting hungry now.
San Francisco's hottest food craze in January was artisanal toast, according to Foodable.
Exactly. Wow. It's all these people with this ridiculous amount of income. And so all of the culture, all of the feel of San Francisco is being drained out, and all these things are popping up. And there's all these people who just aren't San Francisco people. All of a sudden, they are San Francisco now. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of sad.
So artisanal toast and their fans is ruining San Francisco.
I would say artisanal toast and Google are the things that are ruining San Francisco.
Google and not Facebook?
Huh?
Google and not Facebook or Twitter?
Yeah, all of it. Well, I think I'm saying Google as like an umbrella term for everything. It's Twitter, it's Google, it's all that stuff.
This is the thing that bothered me, is like we used to go to South by Southwest, the music and media conference in Austin, Texas, which has like grown exponentially. And every year it kind of bothered me to see a lot of these kids coming from Google and Twitter, and they literally spent an entire week drunk and high, and be like, oh my God, I went to the like Facebook party, and they had the best wine margaritas. It was fabulous.
That's how it is now in San Francisco.
It's and like, you're like, here I am starving to death, you know, creating actual content, and this douchebag who barely knows JavaScript is getting paid six figures to get drunk on somebody else's time.
A ton of money. Yeah, I
that
recently,
money belongs to me because I make money for YouTube and for Google. I want my higher cut.
We need to move out to Silicon Valley.
The money is insane. Like I was hired to do an Academy Awards party. So there's this new members only social club in San Francisco. I don't know why I used quotation marks because that's what it is. So it's it's a members only place called the Battery, and it's in the financial district. And you go in there and you pay to be a member. And there's like a library, there's a bar, there's like a little restaurant, there's like a hotel inside of it. But I was hired to do their member, the Oscars party for the members. All their members would come in, and there was like a red carpet and stuff. And they asked me how much I'd want. And I said, oh, I don't know. I asked for an amount, and they were like, okay. And I was like,
ugh. I should have asked for twice.
I was so mad. I should have, because I don't realize the concept of
how much things cost.
It's a new frontier now where you can say, I want $5,000, and they'll be like, okay, because it's not real to them. What this place was is two people had started up this social media app in England, and it was kind of like Facebook over there. They sold it for $770 million.
Oh, shit.
And they were like, oh, we'll just start a social club. And you go to see it, and it's like so much money was thrown at this building, this place. And so the money really is unreal. And And I thought later, and then like I showed up, but they didn't really have me do anything but sit there, and they're like, "Oh, do you want food?" And you know,
just stand here and try and look pretty.
And so I was like, "Okay, can I renegotiate the contract? Can I get like you know?" So it's kind of like it's a new frontier in San Francisco where money isn't really money anymore. It's all kind of virtual money.
You know, something's wrong when they use you to decorate and beautify the place.
Shut up! Shut up! And the people, yeah, I guess so. And they don't know the difference. Oh, you could put a wig on anybody and be like, oh, fabulous, fabulous.
Well, that's what like Elvira did for a while with Christian Grenier. She just had her Elvira impersonator go show up for gigs, and until one time the radio station was like, we got to interview you as Elvira. So Christian had to impersonate Elvira on the radio and was able to pull it off.
Oh
yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I think like
you
Christian
could do that too. Just go to the zoo, get a donkey, yeah. throw a wig on.
All right, you know what, remember what you said happened with you and Mimi? It's about to happen. It's about to happen.
Yeah, but for people that don't know, we reread Mimi M first on the podcast, and she won't talk to me anymore.
Why go to the zoo and get a donkey? Just go there. Yeah.
I found this ugly man. He's a drag. Her name is Heklina.
Oh my God.
Hello, welcome to my show.
Hate you.
One of the questions on Facebook, Tim Roisley says he wants to know who your drag inspirations are.
Well, I guess when I was growing up, I never actually had this idea I was going to be a drag queen.
Yeah.
And I guess I really, one day I will be one, but I really loved Divine, and there was something about Divine that I thought was just so amazing, and you know, she was so ahead of her time. But when I did start first doing drag, I guess I really did look up to the New York queens, because they were these personalities, they seemed very strong, very driven, so... Sherry Vine, Mistress Formica, Lady Bunny, all those people. I kind of looked up to them.
Sherry Vine is so old, she's been doing drag longer than Heklina.
I told Sherry Vine to act her age, and she died.
She's so old, her colostomy bag is made out of wood.
Oh, my God. What the hell?
Lady Bunny, I mean, certainly, like, is a drag inspiration to so many people.
Oh, totally, yeah. I looked up to her. I looked up to all those queens.
You and Lady Bunny are best friends, besides, like, Peaches Christ. Like, you guys...
We get along very well. We did have a long period where we had a falling out, me and her.
What happened?
Actually, there's been a couple of times when I've had fallings out or fights with her. But it was over
like
me.
Like fist fights?
Yes. One time we were at a party in San Francisco, and she slapped me, and I was choking her, and we were just like, I was like, I'm going to kill you.
You were choking her.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, help, help, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like that kind of thing? Kind of like that. She just got really drunk and out of hand, and she came up to me and slapped me while I was talking to somebody, and I just like, I took my purse and I hit her over the head with it, but it just bounced off her wig. So then I just kind of like grabbed her by the throat, you know? And
is that how you handle a drag queen, by the throat? Just...
Because if you hit her over the head, usually it's not going to do anything because she's wearing a big wig.
And how did the fight end?
The next day, we kind of ironed things out, but then... A couple of years ago, I had this falling out with her where I was booking her for a show in Los Angeles, and she, it was so stupid. So I booked, and I got the wrong date. I had her flying in a day earlier or a day later than she wanted to fly in. I was like, oh, sorry, girl, can you just make it work? You know, can you, because it's going to cost me a lot of money to change the flight. She's like, no, this was your fault. I was like, yeah, I know it's my fault, but maybe we can... You know, maybe we can work something out. She was just so hateful and bitchy. And so I was just like, fine. And I just canceled her appearance, and we booked Raja instead. And I was so done with her. And we didn't talk for over
years,
a year.
Yeah.
It was just so out of control. And even her manager was like saying to her, like, what's your problem? Like, why couldn't you just work with it? She's like, it was the principle of it. So I was like,
principles will fuck you over more than anything, right?
But you guys have patched things up now.
We patched things up, yes.
You're best friends. You're back to
as much as anybody,
going to sex parties.
As much as anybody can be best friends with Lady Bunny, we're good friends, yeah. I mean, we talk on the phone. I mean, if you can't really talk to her either. She calls you, and you're like, hello?
Apple.
like she just got like,
squirrels, all my friends.
Yeah, gibberish for like a minute. Yeah.
And then I a political that, rant. And then,
right.
Don't let her start talking about Afghanistan. Between Sherry Vine, Lady Bunny, and you, you're all known for hooking up with guys on Craigslist in drag.
How did I get known for that?
You talked about that on our show.
Yeah. So last night I was stuck at a hotel by the airport and I got some really hot piece of ass.
Were you in drag?
Uh-huh.
You dressed up in, but you won't, so you will dress up in drag to meet up with a trick on Craigslist, but you'll never dress up in drag to do anything that we do.
Why should I? It's all radio.
No, we did a live podcast in San Francisco and you were like, I didn't realize anyone was going to show up for this.
It's kind of true. I was kind of shocked. I was like, oh wait, there's people here. It's true.
If I had disguised myself as a guy from Craigslist, then you would have shown up.
So do you advertise, like, so it's Craigslist, do you like the men looking for trans women? Is that how you get, okay. Mm-hmm. And you say like, I'm trans or
it's you go TG or T, it's just like T. So I'm going to show you a picture of the guy.
Between you and Sherry Vine and Lady Bunny, who is the biggest whore?
Probably me.
That's you.
Yeah.
The queen of them all.
Yes.
How do you know that for sure?
Well, I don't know it for sure. I think I'm just going to
say. Sherry was like talking on the podcast that she had like a relationship with her next door neighbor for a long time.
I'm just going to say.
And he only wanted to have sex with her while she was in drag.
Oh, I
can I see, you got a face pic? I don't know. I mean, the ass looks.
Oh my God, that's horrifying. Oh, but you like eating ass.
Why is that horrifying?
It's like goat sex. People Google goat sex if you want to know what we're talking about.
Face pic? Body pic?
I do. He's a good looking guy. Good body.
Yeah, he's got a very nice body. His Facebook is it's on my laptop. I don't have it
his
here.
Anus looks a little irritated. Looks a little
probably because I had my take that picture?
Probably because I had my face buried in it for an hour and a half.
You're more about eating ass than you are about fucking.
I don't.
You,
really,
you
I
used
don't.
To like eat asses on stage all the time at tranny shows.
I ate Sid's ass at the podcast party.
Our listener said, yeah. "Hi, yeah. Sid.
Hi, Sid."
And then everybody else was like, "Was
I think
it?"
He's still seeing a counselor about that.
Exactly. He's still seeing the sex clinic about that. Those wards.
You're not eating ass on stage anymore, are you?
No.
What made you discontinue that?
I just feel like it was, I mean, it's going to sound stupid, but I lost my taste for doing it on stage, I guess. I mean, it's kind of like,
Dave sitting on the couch, girl.
So does the audience.
It was a moment, you know, it was more of a moment back then in San Francisco. I'm also slightly different now. I'm older. I don't have.
You're wiser.
I don't want to be dragging boys up and dealing with drunk boys and like, hey, pull your pants down. Let me eat your ass. It's kind of like. I did it, you know, 10 years ago.
It's maybe because you had a little resentment to your rich audience members now that you don't want to eat their ass because you're kind of already.
I'm already kissing their ass.
Yeah, you're kind of forced to already dealing with their presence in the city. Now you're just like, give me your money and get
out. You know,
I'm
just branching out now. I'm doing bigger parties. Tranny Check is a lot bigger now, and I'm doing other parties, and I'm doing theater, and it's just kind of like I'm not. If I eat somebody's ass, it's not for shock value anymore. It's because I want to.
Because you like it.
And then the real truth is, a lot of times a drag boys up on stage, I wouldn't really go there because they'd pull their pants down and I'd be like either not into them or it was too pongy when you got down close to it. And it'd be like, so, you know, the real truth is I would kind of like put my face in there a little bit, but not really. With Sid, I dove in there.
Well, yeah. There was also cake in there, too.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
And the cake kind of hides the stench.
Yes.
You know, not that there was any, but...
There was no stench with Sid, no.
Sid was sexy.
Still looks still good.
Still looking good.
Sexy. Oftentimes, you got to wink past the stink to get to the pink. And that is, you know, wise words for you, for your listeners.
That will be on your tombstone, Heclina.
Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough, you guys.
We love you so much. You can check out Heclina on Twitter and Heclina.com.
Instagram, yeah.
Instagram.
And, so it's at Heclina on Instagram and Heclina on Twitter. And you can go to trannyshack.com for information.
Who took the Heclina on Instagram?
I did.
Yeah. No, but it's just the word Heclina.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not to confuse, because some people like they can't get like Peaches Christ didn't have her Twitter handle.
Well, Sharon
for a long
Needles
time.
Is like Sharon Needles PGH.
Well, Sharon something. Needles, unfortunately, there was a million Sharon Needles. There was one in every town, and you know, every town now is like, I'm the original Sharon Needles.
The original.
Cares. Yeah, you are, girl. You're making
nobody
that
cares.
Money.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, I'm gonna love it. Remember, listeners, that Feast of Fun is made possible because of your financial support. Get yourself a Feast of Fun t-shirt. Hunties, available in all sizes at feastoffun.com/store because it looks good on you, honey.
Mm-hmm. Quit trying to make Hunty happen, okay?
It happens.
It's happened.
It happens. I got t-shirts.
If it wasn't for Hunty, this podcast would not exist.
And our Wolf t-shirts with our dog Jesse Pinkman. I'm all out of medium. So if you want a small, large XL, 2XL or 3XL, I think I even have, order today, because once those are gone, they're gone forever. And then we'll come out with Dogs and Cutie.
And of course, you know, subscribe to the premium podcast and get all the delicious jerks. Don't miss a single episode. Feastoffun.com/plots. It's what you need, honey. Are you bored right now? It's because the show's over and you need to upgrade to Plus so you can listen to all the good shows from last week.
The funny ones.
Oh, you're always a delight.
Heck, Lena, we love you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye, everybody. Bye.